Lord, as Peter said, Lord, to whom else can I go? Where else can I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And Lord, we recognize that this precious book, this book is the words of eternal life. It's your word, Lord. It's your truth. And so we pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts tonight, those who are here, those who are watching online, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us in our faith, strengthen us in our faith. Help us to trust in you more, Lord, and to worry less about the things of this world. And so have your way in us tonight. Lord, we invite you to be the guest of honor here tonight. And may your spirit work within us as we look into your precious word. We commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, the topic tonight is going to be that of preservation. We're going to be seeing a lot of that tonight. You're thinking, well, it's eight verses. How much could possibly be in there on preservation? Well, quite a bit. First of all, it's important to note that Webster's Dictionary defines the word preserve as to keep alive, maintain, and also to save from decay. Okay? The word in Hebrew, however, it is shamar, and it is used six times in this psalm. And this word means to protect, to guard, to attend, and to maintain. To protect, to guard, to attend to, and maintain. And so where you see the words in the psalm tonight, keep, and where you see the word preserve, those are one of the same, they are the same word. They are shamar. Very important word, one in the same. And we all know, of course, if you've been coming to Calvary Chapel any time or been in the reading the word for any length of time, when the Lord repeats something multiple times in Scripture, we are wise to listen and pay extra attention to it and to what he is saying. Psalm 121 here is one of what is called the Song of Ascents. There's 15 of these precious psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. They are all what are known as the Song of Ascents. These psalms are all songs that God's people would sing on their way to Jerusalem, to God's holy temple, as they would gather from all over the world on multiple occasions celebrating the various feasts. And it was always a sight to behold when God's people gathered together from the north, the south, the east, and the west, up the mountain, up to Jerusalem, up to God's holy temple, to worship and praise him. It was truly a sight to behold, I imagine. According to Josephus, he said that there were many times that well over a million people would gather to celebrate the Lord. Over a million people. That's a lot of people gathering from all around to worship the Lord. For the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Sukkoth, or the Feast of Tabernacles, they would gather together to worship the Lord, to give him the first fruits, to praise and worship him. And so it was a very solemn occasion when they would gather up to the mountain of God, up to Jerusalem, and an exciting time when we would see all the Hebrew pilgrims, the sojourners, gathering together to worship the Lord. And they would sing these psalms as they were ascending to Jerusalem, hence the name, the Song of Ascents. They would sing these on their way up to Jerusalem while making their way there. And so just a little background on this psalm, and as I mentioned, from Psalm 120 to 134, these are all special psalms because these are the songs they would sing as they were going to worship the Lord together. There was definitely an excitement when God's people went to the house of the Lord together. And, you know, it should hold true for us, whether it's a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening. There should always be an excitement for us when we're going to the house of the Lord to worship him, to praise him together. So let's read the text here, Psalm 121. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. As I mentioned, when you see those words, keep, keeps, keeper, those are all, and preserve, those are all that precious word, shamar. And that is such a beautiful word. It's one we're going to want to learn tonight, because it's more than just keeping something stable. It's more than that. It's guarding, protecting, guiding, even attending to and maintaining and really being present. And this whole psalm is filled with that precious word. He starts in verse 1 with, I will lift my eyes up to the hills. Again, as I mentioned earlier, as they would approach Jerusalem, they would look to the holy city of God. Not that they were looking to the hills for help, but they knew they were going to meet with God and they were worshiping God. And they were excited about that. And the question that's asked when he lifts his eyes up to the hills was, from whence comes my help? Or where does my help come from? This is the question. The writer is not looking for the hills to help him. There's no help in the hills. He's looking to the Lord for help. Another thing to note is the surrounding mountains around Jerusalem at this time, there were many altars that were in place by heathens that placed their altars throughout the mountains surrounding. They were scattered about. These were places of worship to these pagan gods. So they would have to look beyond the hills of the false gods and the altars that they laid everywhere. They would have to look beyond and look up beyond all that to focus on the Lord. It holds true for us as well in this world. When we look outside this place, when we look outside in this valley, there are many pagan altars out there. There are many altars raised up by these heathen to distract us. We have to look beyond what the world is laying before us, look beyond that for the help, and look up to the Lord, just as they did. And it kind of paints a picture for us as they are ascending up to God's holy temple, that they would have to go through these places where these altars were laid. They would even have to pass through them depending on what direction they were coming in. And there are many altars around us today. There are many things in this world that are trying to offer help to us in our time of need. We, like the Hebrew pilgrims here, we must fix our eyes upward, even though many are turning to the world for comfort and peace. We need to look past all that. We need to look up. We need to look up. That's where our help comes from. In Psalm 119, verse 50, we're told that this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. That's where the comfort comes from. It's from the word of God. And of course, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But the Word of God is so precious to us. It is the most valuable thing that is physical that we own here on earth is the Word of God. And oftentimes it is the one thing that collects the most dust in our homes. When the Word of God is life-giving. There's comfort to be found in the Word of God. Looking beyond the world and above the altars of this world, because the things in this world will not help. Plain and simple. Yet many are still trying to find solace. They're trying to find comfort. They're trying to find peace and trying to find rest in the altars of this world. But these altars that have been raised up, gang, these altars are places of worship of pagan gods, worship of self, trying to idolize ourselves and put ourselves in the spotlight. We must look beyond those altars. The question, where does my help come from? Well, the answer in verse 2 makes it very clear. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. They looked up and beyond all the heathen altars and looked to the Lord, who is their true help, the maker of heaven and earth. And the perspective that we're given here is that since God created the heavens and the earth, he has shown that he is indeed the God of all wisdom, all power, and all glory. And so since he is the God of all power and wisdom and glory, and since he is our help, we really have nothing to fear. Since he has created all this, including you, including me, we really have nothing to fear. The sojourners at that time, as they would gather to go to the temple, they went through a lot of trials to get there. You can be sure of that. There was much persecution even back then. And they would sing these songs, "My help comes from the Lord." They would sing psalms, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is for us, who can be against us?" And they would sing these things to encourage one another, that the Lord is our help, he is our guide. In Psalm 27, verse 1, David declared, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" And see, knowing that the Lord is our help, knowing that he is all-powerful, with all wisdom and all glory, all honor, we do not fear, and we should not fear. And yet many people are consumed by fear still. Isaiah 41, verse 10 tells us, the Lord says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, we're told we are to seek the Lord and his strength and seek his presence continually. And what that tells us there, and what he's describing there, is we should desire and seek to always have an awareness of the presence of God in our life, to know that he is always present, because he will never leave us or forsake us. And I love Pastor Chuck Smith. We used to always share that one of his most heartfelt prayers was always that the Lord would make him more aware of his presence in his life. And that's a prayer, one of my heartfelt prayers. It should be one of all of our heartfelt prayers. Lord, help us to be more aware of your presence in our life, because it changes everything. Knowing that no matter where we go or what we're doing, that the Lord is with us. And he will never leave us. He will never depart from us. And he's always present. And so the answer to the question, where does my help come from? Well, my help comes from the Lord, of course, who made heaven and earth. Is there any better help we could have? Is there any better help that we could receive? Could this earth give us any more help than the help of the Lord God who made heaven and earth? Of course not. Only he can give us that help. In verse 3, he goes on to say, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." And that's the first time we see the word shamar. He who keeps you will not slumber. So he will not allow your foot to be moved. In other words, he will give us a sure footing as we're walking in this earth. He will give us sure steps to place our foot upon and not allow our foot to slip and slide. I want to share with you out of Psalm 119, just back a couple psalms, Psalm 119, verse 33 to 37, says this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." My whole heart. "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my ear, my heart, to your testimonies, and not to covetousness." In verse 37, he says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Teach me, O Lord. When was the last time that we prayed, "Lord, teach me. Teach me your statutes. Teach me the way you want me to walk." But again, in our minds, I think that sometimes we forget and maybe even neglect the very fact that our help comes from the Lord. And we neglect just asking, "Lord, teach me. Teach me to be obedient. Teach me to love your statutes. Teach me to love your word. Teach me." What loving father wouldn't just be so blessed if his child came to him and said, "Teach me, Dad. Please teach me." Man, but we neglect that. The NLT version of Psalm 37, verse 23, tells us that the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives. He delights in every detail of their lives as he's directing our steps. But it's up to us to check with the Lord, make sure we're taking the steps he wants us to take and we're on the path that he wants us to be on. Because if we lean on our own understanding and we don't acknowledge him, then it's going to be miserable. It's going to be miserable. But if we are trusting in the Lord and we are not leaning on our understanding but acknowledging him in all our ways, then that path is going to be blessed. God's going to do amazing things. But it's important to make sure that our GPS is showing what God's plan for us is in our life. Make sure that we're walking the path that God has for us. Because if we lean on our own strength and our own wisdom, watch out. He delights in every detail of their lives, Scripture says. He who keeps you will not slumber, nor sleep. And this is where the first time we see this precious word. First time we see this word, shamar, that he will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So there's a theme in these two verses here, basically, is that God is never slack. God never misses the mark. God never says, "Oh, I forgot you were going to do that today." There's a wonderful quote, and I don't know who said it, but I love it. And it was this: "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God?" God doesn't all of a sudden just go, "Oh, I just had a new revelation." Nothing catches God by surprise. But for us, it's different. A lot of things can catch us by surprise. And it's good to recognize that the help we need and the help that we can receive from him, knowing that nothing will catch him by surprise, so that nothing will catch us by surprise when we're walking with him and when we're walking in the way in which he has for us. So not only will he keep our foot from slipping and sliding, he keeps us on the path, he will not slumber, but also it says he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. God's got a special place for Israel. He's not finished with Israel. He's got a major plan for Israel. And he says he will keep them. Yes, Lord, you will. And God says it, I believe it. He who keeps Israel, he who shamar Israel, shall not slumber nor sleep. God never slacks in his work, gang. He will keep us, he will keep Israel. Remember that word, the shamar. Guard, protect, to attend to, even nurture, to keep, to hold on to. He will keep us. Jesus said that all that the Father has given to him, he shall not lose one. You know what that means? Modern translation. All that the Father has given him, he shall not lose one. If you are in Christ Jesus, he's not going to let you go ever. You belong to him. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, "Do not be afraid or terrified because of the wicked, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." To have this assurance, and I believe God is teaching us tonight in this beautiful psalm that he is with us, that he has a lot invested in us, and we are precious to him. And we have to remember that because the world tells a different story. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Other translations say, "even to the end of time itself." I am with you. It's important to remember this fact when it comes to the Lord. And that's this. First, we belong to him. We belong to the Lord. If you've given your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and believed on him, and repented of your sins and been washed in the blood, guess what? You belong to him. You belong to him. You belong now. Exactly where God wants you to be. But also there is this truth, and that is that we are not timeshares to God. We are not timeshares to him. God paid far too great a price and has invested even eternal glory in each and every one of us. And you know what, gang? He is going to nurture, protect, and guard and tend to his precious investment that he has in us. He has invested so much into our lives that it shows, it proves how precious we are to him. And it shows that he wants to be involved in every detail in our lives. He wants to be a part of it all. He wants to be a part of the transactions we make and the deals we make. He wants to be a part of the time we spend with our kids or grandkids. He wants to be a part of our day-to-day life because he is concerned with every little detail in our life. And again, it's hard to comprehend that. And in our humanity, we oftentimes, we just neglect to remember that he's with us. In the smallest of things, it doesn't matter. But he is present. He is there. For the little things, the things we think are little, the big things, everything in between, every detail of our life, God is very much concerned with. And he's very much invested into. He will keep us, he will not slumber, and he will not sleep. We can be assured of that. God will never slack concerning his work or his promises towards you or towards me. You know, one other point on that. I mentioned the altars in this world, the many altars that we have to look above and look beyond. And a lot of those altars, that's exactly what they will do. They will let you down. When you place your trust in relationships, when you place your trust in jobs, when you place your trust in anything in this world, one thing you can be sure of is it can and possibly will let you down. But the Lord is faithful. He is faithful, and that's why it's so important that we always keep that awareness of His presence in our life, that we include Him into everything. And if He's not included, then watch out. It's like hitting self-destruct. How many of us tried before coming to know the Lord, maybe even after so, try to do things on our own strength and our own will and our own way? How'd that turn out? We make a mess of things. And even as Christians, we do that. And then we come to the Lord, we say, Lord, help. He says, well, of course I will help you. And He cleans up our mess and everything. We're going to do all this on our own because we have a plan. But unless the Lord is included, then it's all for naught. Because He is the one who keeps us. He says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Again, shamar. The Lord is your shamar. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Verse 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is our protector. The Lord is our God. The Lord is the one who guards us and leads us and guides us and tends to us. Another word in that beautiful word, shamar, is maintain. He maintains us. Sometimes we need to be oiled. We need checkups. We need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's here and present to maintain us. The saddest truth really is we have not because we ask not. If we're not asking for God to fill us afresh every day and we walk around spiritually dry, we can't blame God for that. We have not because we ask not. Again, it's just to remind us, you know, we as children of God, we need to be dependent on our Father. We really do. We need to be dependent on Him for everything, absolutely everything. For the parents out there, to raise your kids right. For the grandparents, how to be godly grandparents for your grandchildren. For the employee, how to be a good employee representing the Lord. I mean, the list goes on and on. God teaches us. God instructs us. I don't know how to be a father, but I know my Heavenly Father, and He teaches me how to be a father. He instructs me. But many people aren't looking to the Lord for instruction. And when they do receive instruction from the Lord, they ignore it. And they turn to the altars of this world to try to suffice. When it comes to the Lord, you belong to Him. You belong to Him. He paid a great price for us. So now the Lord is getting very personal here in verse 5 and 6, as He is our keeper. I love that. And it says the Lord is our shade. In other words, He is the protection from the blistering heat of the sun. And He brings warmth in the chilly evenings with the moon. And now there are some who believe that speaking of the moon was talking about the way the moon lines up and causes people to get crazy. I don't get into all that stuff. But there are some teachers who believe that that's what he's talking about, keeping, you know, the word lunatic comes from lunar, which is moon. And, you know, they go on and on. And I'm just like, no, here's what God's done in my life. He has sheltered me from the heat, and He has brought me warmth in the times of my life when I was very cold, because that's who He is. That's the loving Father we have. And so there is a protection, a shade over us during the sun, during the heat, and there is also a warmth even during the rise of the moon. And they weren't always at the most pleasant time of the year. Very hot days, very cold nights. So, but God provided the shade. And we look back to the children of Israel on their exodus of Egypt. When they were out in the wilderness, there was a cloud covering over them for the 40-year trip of murmuring and complaining. But because God is faithful and he loves us and he loved them, he still gave them shade, even with all their complaining. He did the same thing for Jonah. You know, he did the same thing for Jonah after Jonah mumbled a few words to Nineveh after being just completely disobedient and angry. He stomped off and had a pity party up in the hill. God provided a plant for him to bring shade so that his head wouldn't fry. And my point is that because God loves us, even when we make mistakes, he doesn't turn us away when we come to him and ask for help. That's where grace comes in. God's grace is so incredible, guys. No matter what we've done, no matter what track we've went on, we come to the Lord and it's as if we never left him, because he never left us. And so maybe you're watching, or maybe you're here, and maybe you've made some wrong turns. You know what? This is for you, because God is calling you back to him. He wants to be a part of every detail of your life. He wants to be included in your life again. Sure, he sees everything going on. And yes, he hurts when you hurt. But it's time to come back to him and invite him. Lord, come and be a part of my life again. Help me make right decisions, because I've been making decisions on my own and they're not turning out so well. My joy is being zapped. My strength is going with the joy. And I need your joy. I need your strength, Lord. And the beautiful thing is, with open arms, he receives us back to bring warmth to the chilly coldness that we're feeling. So we see here, even what it's describing here also, is it's, again, the day-to-day grind that God is involved in. He is very much involved in every detail of our life. From the rising of the sun to the rising of the moon, day by day, God is involved and he is guarding and protecting us and keeping us through it. Every little detail. And again, sometimes we think we get so busy in life and we think, well, God's too busy for this. Or we just neglect to even ask, because we figure it's just something small that it turns into something big. And as I was looking through some quotes from some men who I really look up to, I found this quote from Spurgeon that I wanted to share with you, because I thought it was so beautiful and so timely to the text that we're in tonight. It has passed you by, but it is not so. He who counts the stars and calls them by their names is in no danger of forgetting his own children. He knows your case as thoroughly as if you were the only creature ever made, or the only saint he ever loved. He said, approach him and be at peace. I think it's time for believers to approach the throne of God again. And let the Lord know, Lord, here I am. I need you. Because we're seeing a lot of believers consumed by fear, anxiety, worry, depression, consumed by these things. And because when we are in that place where anxiety has a hold of us or depression has grip on us, we don't think clearly. And so many believers start to turn to the world to try to fix their dilemma, because they're just not thinking clearly. They're so distraught. But if we approach the throne of God, he will receive us and we'll find peace there. I love that. I love that quote. It almost brought me to tears reading it. Because the Lord is so involved in every little detail of our life. Every little detail. In verse 7, The Lord shall preserve, there's that word shamar, he shall shamar you from all evil, and he shall preserve, shamar, your soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve or shamar your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. In verse 7, the Lord shall preserve us or shamar us from all evil. Not some evil, it says all evil. He will protect us from it. Again, another reason we don't have to fear. It is the Lord who protects us and guards us from the evil one. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Again, establish you means to put your foot on sure ground, to establish you, to help you to stand. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear. He will guard us from the evil one. And he shall preserve our soul, it says in the rest of verse 7. He shall preserve our very soul. You know, in Christ Jesus, our souls, we're bound for glory, gang. We are bound for eternal glory. That's our destination. Eternal life, eternal glory with the Father. But our soul is precious. See, our soul isn't like our body, which is fading away and declining all the time. Our soul is very much alive and will always remain very much alive. Either into what is known as the resurrection into eternal life, or the resurrection into eternal death, eternal separation from God. Separation from God forever. This is why we need to be strong in our faith as well. When we leave these doors and we go about our business, our day-to-day business, there's a lost and dying world out there that we come into contact with every day. Lost people, lost souls that are hurting and searching for truth, searching for hope, searching for remedies, and searching for the meaning of life. And the list goes on and on. But gang, when we're walking in the light of the Lord and we're shining bright for Jesus, you rest assured even the darkness has to turn to light. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. It cannot overtake the light. The darkness is either going to run or convert to the light. That's what darkness does. It either runs and I'm gone, or it converts to the light because it can't help but come to the light. The light is powerful, the light of the Lord. It says here, the Lord shall preserve, verse 8, our going out and our coming in. He shall preserve us, our day-to-day lives, as we go out, as we come in. He's involved in every detail. One of the amazing attributes of God also, I just want to mention briefly, which is amazing, is God is omnipresent. Again, just adding to and even assuring and reassuring the statements that are made in the scriptures, he is always present everywhere at the same time. So when he says, I will never leave you, I believe he will never leave me. When he says he is involved in my everyday life, in every detail he's aware of, I believe it. I believe it to be true. Our day-to-day lives, and because he's omnipresent, always present in our lives, and it's like, man, oh, that we would just be more mindful of the presence of God in our life. And Lord, help us to do that. He's with us in the morning when we rise. He's with us at home as the kids are scrambling for school. He's with us as the bacon's burning on the stove. As we prepare for the day ahead, as we stub our toe as we're walking down the hallway. He's with us at the market, at the workplace. He's with us at the doctor's office. He's with us when we settle in for dinner in the evening. He's there. Even when we lay our head to go to sleep, he's there. And he is always present to guard, protect, guide us. Shamar. Psalm 139. I'm going to read. You can turn there or I can just read it. But I'm going to read out of Psalm 139. And I'm going to read verse 1 through 12. Just in case we were wondering, how intimately does God really know us? Well, look at this. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 12. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, he writes, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to you, Lord. Where can I go from your presence? Why would I want to? Why would we want to try to escape being in the presence of the Lord? In the second part of verse 8 here, for this time forth and even forevermore. That means forever and ever and ever. These promises for us. From now and even into eternity, he will hold us. He will keep us. He will protect us. He will tend to us, care for us, and guide us. He will shamar over us. If we let him be Lord over our life. Lord, Master. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from. And I pray if you're watching tonight or you're here tonight, that you would be encouraged to turn back to the Lord and find the true help in time of need, and look past all these crazy altars out in this world. They're raised up by heathens, people who hate God, trying to distract us. Keep your eyes and your heart fixed on the Lord. Father, we love your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this beautiful psalm tonight, Lord, that we can see just how intimately you are involved in each and every one of our lives. How you are acquainted with and you are mindful of every detail, Lord. That nothing gets past you, God. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that we can turn to you, our Heavenly Father, and knowing that you have the very best in mind for us. And you watch over us, you keep us, you guard us, you protect us, you tend to us, Lord. And we love you for that, Lord. We love you tonight, God. And for those who are watching, maybe they've drifted. Maybe they've been searching for help in this world, trying to find help in their own strength. Lord, I pray that you would even now just minister to their hearts, that they would just turn back to you, Lord. And say, Father, I need help. It's not working on my own. I need your help. And Lord, that you would receive them with amazing grace and love, as you always do, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for tonight. and how you minister to our hearts, God. We love you and praise you and continue to worship you together tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.